Oh, praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, as we come together tonight, let us always be mindful that you're the one guiding us. And let all of our praises be to you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do some mighty works tonight. As we come into this one accord, you know, in the past, I've read about it. I've never seen it. And I've read about that when the people come into one accord, Lord, that place, the place around them shakes. And we want to experience everything that you have for us, Lord. We want your glory to come down around us and to fill us with your spirit in a way that is just pushes out all the garbage and all the dross that's been left inside. Push out all the darkness and leave only you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing in us these days. Father, we thank you for this blessing that you're fixing to pour out on your people in a mighty way. And Father, we just praise you for all that you do tonight. And let us ever be mindful to be led by your spirit tonight. We thank you for all that you're doing in us, Lord, because you're worthy of our praises. Whether we get anything, you're worthy of our praises. Whether you do anything for us, Lord, you're still worthy of our praises. You gave your life for us. And you didn't even know us at the time. And Father, we just praise you. Glorify you for going to the cross for all of us. And Lord, the least that we can do is to go to our cross for you. And Father, I just praise you and I glorify you for the work that you do tonight in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you, Lord. Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
I want to pray for pray against the witchcraft for the next couple of days. They're going to do lots of weird things. So for the president, for us, for the man child and the bride. So, well, thank you, Lord. I come against that witchcraft, Lord God, the curses, the incantations, the hexes, anything they do, Lord God, I pray that it would come back on them and they would be caught in their own trap, Lord God, whether it's physical or spiritual, Lord. I pray they pay the consequences of whatever they speak out, and you just reverse it right onto them, Lord God. So protect the president, protect your children, protect the bride, and protect the man-child, Lord God. Any curses against them, Lord, we cast it down and we cast it out in the name of Jesus. It cannot prosper. It cannot affect us. It cannot do anything, Lord. And I also pray against that impeachment vote that they're going to take, Lord God. I pray that the Dems that have some amount of decency in them vote against that, Lord God, and it just fizzles right out and there's nothing to it. And I thank you for it, Lord God, and I believe it. I think we all believe it. In the name of Jesus, we're praying and we call it done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I come against witchcraft, against any of your chosen, Lord. I cast it all down as null and void. Matter of fact, Father, we just ask and we pray that you send every curse spoken against your people but go back where it came from tenfold, Lord. And I ask and I pray that in the name of Jesus. Father, you said if we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. And I believe that's what's going to happen, Lord. That they'll learn not to be speaking against your people in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for great and bold faith for everybody here. to believe everything that we pray tonight is going to happen. Has already happened 2,000 years ago. And I thank you, Father, for that great and bold faith you placed in all of us. And we can walk just like you, Lord, because we are disciples as you. We're learners and followers. And a follower is one who walks in your footsteps, Lord. And we rest in that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for being our God, our sovereign God, that everything that happens around us, Lord, happens for a reason. And we know that these curses that are spoken against us is to test our faith. And we just believe, Father, that there's a wall of protection around each one of your chosen in the name of Jesus. And, Father, around President Trump and his cabinet and his family in the name of Jesus, we thank you for that wall of protection around all of them, Lord. Matter of fact, Lord, remember when we were kids, we used to say, I'm rubber and you're glue, and anything you say against me bounces off of me and goes back and sticks to you. And that's the way this is going to be, I believe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Y'all believe that? Glory to God. I believe it, Leon. Praise God. Ooh, my. That's what we used to say when I was a kid. I'm rubber and you're glue. Everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Mm. That's what we used to say.
I'd like to pray something, Michael. Lord, I just pray that you would just put in the hearts of your people everywhere, Lord, to be praying, Lord. There's so many out there, they don't even know their authority, God, and know how to bind or take authority, God, but they, I know they're hearing things that are going on, and Lord, they don't want it to, these things to be happening, and they would just pray. It would turn to you and pray in the faith that they have, Lord, for you to work and move on Trump's behalf, God. Just move your people to pray everywhere, Father. As they see that you answer, Father, I pray you would just increase their faith and show them the authority they have, Lord, through their prayers, God. And I pray you would begin to teach people in the churches, Father. Your Holy Spirit begin to move, Lord, and reveal to them the authority you have for them, Lord, that they can have in you, Jesus. So, thank you, God, that you just move upon your people everywhere to be praying on this, God, and in these days that we're in now, God. In Jesus' name, thank you that you're going to hear them and hear us, Lord, and you're going to answer. We praise you already, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord, we believe that in Jesus' name. Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
I want to pray against Halloween itself. So, Lord God, I come to you, Lord, and I ask you to make Halloween a failed celebration, Lord, in America. Turn people away from it. Turn them off to it. Make them reject it. Make it where it's a thing of the past and something to be rejected by people, and that it has no ill effect on people. They don't get into witches and demons and all that kind of stuff with their dressing up, Lord God. They don't get into vampires and skulls and skeletons and all kinds of demonic things, Lord. Just make it be a turnoff to everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, I just ask and I pray right now that on October the 31st, all over this world, where there is nefarious plans and underway to kidnap people, to kidnap children, I ask, Lord, that it rain hard during that whole evening and that no one would be able to get out and go this stupid trick-or-treating, Father. I know in the past we've done it too because we didn't think, we didn't know. We didn't understand. And people out there, they don't understand the evil that's out there, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that, that you're going to let it rain all over this world where kids are going out, would go out, but they can't go out now. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Place it in mom and dad's heart not to let them go out, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I second that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'd like to add to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lord, if there's any way that they tried to substitute another day because of the rain on the original day. Lord, just continue to bring that rain on some substitute day that they want to do Halloween so that they cannot do it, that there will not be any kind of substitute day at all because of the weather. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Don't we have dominion over the weather?
Yes.
We do, in Jesus' name. So we do. We command rain everywhere the children are going to go out, and nefarious deeds are planned to come against them, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yeah, Leah.
Friday is All Saints Day, and Saturday is the Day of Death. They got big, big parades all over the world about the Day of Death. So I pray against that too, Lord God. I pray that these people would not celebrate death, but they would celebrate life through Jesus Christ and come to the knowledge of your Son and their Savior, Lord God, and reject all things evil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's going to be awesome, man. We're going to look at that radar. See, yeah, Denny.
And finally, we want to pray for the churches that are having activities and that to try to reach out to young kids and present the gospel in some way. We just pray that you would just anoint them and bless them, Father. Bless their efforts, God. And use the church to minister, Lord. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. I remember up in when we were back up in Illinois, we were in a country, small little country town, and 1,300, I think, at the time. But we'd always set up a couple bales of straw outside and have a table and stuff. And then right inside, there was hot chocolate and apple cider and stuff like that. And so the kids would come by and it was always getting tracks and trying to, you know, get up a conversation. It was surprising how effective. I mean, it was a good thing, actually, you know, that we, and so a lot of kids actually came by and got to hear something that probably would never come to church, but they did on that night because they wanted to get the candy, you know, so, but it was always a real blessing for us to do that with a way of outreach, so just anoint that to all the churches that are reaching out, Father, using that time as an opportunity. We just thank you, Jesus.
How was the cider, dude?
I thought it was good, yeah.
Was it fresh squeeze? Okay, you want, yeah, Joe.
Let's lift Willie up in prayer. I talked with him briefly earlier, so he's battling depression that's come upon him. So let's lift him up there. You know, he definitely needs it. But Father, we just come to you, and we thank you for Willie. We thank you for what a blessing he is to everybody. And I want to even lift up Monroe and Diane, you know, and anyone else who hasn't been here for a little while. I've kind of thought about them this past week. And Lord, we just ask, we come against depression, we come against every spirit that just kind of has been lying to them and talking to them, saying, oh, they're not going to want to be around you, you know, you're not welcome, you're not this, you're not that, it doesn't matter what it is. We come against those spirits, you loose their minds right now, and you, Father, just pour out your love upon them, help them to realize they're loved here, you know, we miss them, we'd love to have them back. You know, and we just ask that you would move upon them and just give them grace to stand against the enemy most of all. Give them the grace they need to say, I'm going to take that step forward and come back, you know, regardless of what happens. Put it on their heart, you know, and give them the grace most of all just to say, I'm going to take that step, you know, and help them to follow through, Lord. We thank you for the victory in their lives. Thank you that they're delivered already of these demons that just, you know, that are tormenting them, trying to kick them out of the race. So we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that'll come from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We bind up all of those spirits that are tormenting Willie in the name of Jesus. We command them to stand down And Lord, we ask and we pray that you place it in Willie's heart to call and ask for prayer. Father, we thank you for that. That's what brothers and sisters are for, is to lift one another up. And Lord, we thank you for Joe to bring all this out. We thank you, Father, that Willie has been freed from this depression. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that joy, peace, and rest is in his heart now. And Father, we just praise you for bringing Willie back in Jesus' name. He's been a blessing to this fellowship, Lord. And Lord, if there's anything in there that's creating this, we ask, Lord, that you have him deal with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay. Yeah, Missy.
Alex has a friend down the street, and last week one day I was walking by, and I was actually coming up close to the house, and I saw there were two police SUVs across the street, and they came out and got back in their SUVs and left. And then as I passed by, I heard his mom. She's talking on the phone. She sounded, agitated. And then when I came walking back by, Shane had said something to his mom, and she started just cursing at him and everything. So I just want to pray for them. I really don't believe that they're saved. So, Father, I just ask you, Lord, to bring salvation to this family. Grant repentance unto salvation, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name for his mom, his sister, and him, and for Shane. And Lord, I just bind up spirits of anger and unforgiveness and whatever the police were there for, Lord. I just ask that there no longer be a need. I rebuke all spirits that were operating in that situation. I forbid them to cause dissent and problems again. And Lord, I just ask you to just work in their hearts. Help them to know that they need a Savior, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing a mighty work in them and granting them repentance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving that whole family. Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Denny, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I want to pray for. I was listening to something today on the YouTube about the Common Core, you know, in their education system, and it is unbelievable how they got that through, and who's behind it. It's just the deep state and the UN is behind. You figure, how could they get that into our, you know, the United States school system? It's like it's unbelievable, and the whole premise of the whole thing is to train up the children to realize that they are a property of the state, and that, you know, they have more authority than the parents, and just the whole system, what they're trying to teach, is it's just unbelievable. A really good guy is really explaining it, but it's been 6 years now. I think it says 6 years later. What's the effect of it, and how much Bill Gates was behind this and different ones, and it was all just the big money thing to get this passed into our school system, and how demonic it is. It's unbelievable. You figure, how could this be the educational system of our country? It's like, but it is, you know. But I just want to pray in the same way, like Trump is really going after the deep state, and it's just hitting the, you know, really getting the serpent in the head, crushing his head. That's how you have to do it. You have to go after the head instead of trying to mess around with the tail, you know. And so I want to just pray that, you know, God would, I'm not sure what it would take to take that whole thing down. It would probably take Trump. And I don't know if our current, you know, who's ever in charge of education in our country, was it Betsy DeVos, I think it is, or something, whether she's, I know she's a believer, but I don't know what's going on. But when they're going to deal with this, because this has to go. This is just like a deep state controlling your government. This is a deep state, you know, controlling our educational system. So Father, Lord, it's just beyond me to think that it could even be done. It's impossible. But Lord, we know what you're doing in our government with the deep state stuff. So we're asking you to take down this educational system and remove it. Just totally remove it, what they have in place, and change it. Give it back to the schools and get the education back to the parents and back to the teachers, Lord. And we just thank you, Father. We just trust you to do that. We bind every spirit behind this in the name of Jesus. We just see the spirit of the enemy, Father, behind all this, controlling all this, teaching what he wants. So we just thank you, Lord. We just ask you for a miracle here. Begin to deal with it in our country. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. And they were sharing that, you know, the teachers are no longer teachers. They're facilitators, becoming facilitators. It used to be where a teacher has the wisdom and knows the subject matter, was teaching and actually teaching. But now they're controlled what they can even – the material they can present. It's like they just have to take the material and present it to the students, but they don't teach it. It's already been taught, and the students are learning it from the system. You know, all they're doing is giving the kids the system, so much so that they don't actually teach anymore. There's a couple of the teachers saying that we're not even teachers anymore. We're just facilitators. We're passing on what they're giving us to hand out to the kids. But it's what they're handing out to the kids that's so destructive, you know. I know some, you know,
what allowed it?
Pardon?
You know what allowed it? Us as parents. You know what allowed it?
Yeah.
Is us parents not doing anything about it when Obama brought it into the schools?
Yeah, he just got it in. Well, they have a strangle. They had a stranglehold on the whole system, and there's not much you can do about it, you know.
Oh, sure there is. Yes, sir, there is. If parents would come together and band together and go up, you know, I'm not talking, but I'm just saying if they came together and there was an outcry about it, Trump would get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leo.
They're also trying to replace Christianity with Islam.
Yeah.
Because they can control Islam, they can't control Christianity.
Yeah, they're doing that.
That's the worst part about it.
I know, and I'm sorry, go ahead, Michael.
No, you go ahead.
I was saying that I know in Illinois, I just heard the other day that that's where we came from, you know, that they're going to, this whole transgenderism thing and the LGBT, they worked out something now where they can teach the young kids in the lowest grade, the kindergarten and grade school age kids, they can actually, they're going to have a presentation and stuff that they can teach them, and they're going to not let the parents know what day it is or anything, because they realize that a lot of kids, parents will keep their kids home on that day. So now they're working it out where they're not going to even let the parents know. They're just going to sneak it in there, like, you know, that's part of the thing there. And they passed it in Illinois.
That's the parents' fault for allowing that to happen. They ought to just rise up and say, no, this is our school. You don't have anything to do with it. You work for us. Amen. We don't work for you. You work for us. And take the schools back for them. It used to be that the region, the area that they were in, brought the laws about the school in there. Now they've allowed the government, the U.S. government, to come in there and they've made a mess of it. Looks like they have everything, but there is an agenda behind that.
Yeah, there is.
And the agenda is to make this a one world government and teach those kids that this populist sovereign nation stuff is not for the United States, so they can do away with the Constitution. And just take a look at some of the polls you see about the millennials and what they believe. millennia. Socialism is on their order. They don't have a clue of what socialism is and what it leads to.
Yeah.
All they know is it's what they've been taught in school, and it's just ice cream and, you know, milkshakes. That's about all it is. That's all they know. They don't know anything about what people go through when they go through that stuff. It's a failed system. Anyway, get off the soapbox. Yeah, Missy.
Never mind. I was going to make a comment, but you just said, let's get off that, so I'll shut up.
Well, we know what's happening. Anyway, we can pray for it. Look, that's why homeschooling is essential for the Christian. You know, you have to teach them yourself. They don't teach civics anymore. Yeah, did it. I can't hear you.
Oh,
I can.
I wanted to pray for Illinois, and I mean all states everywhere. That God, that you would cause parents' voices to, they would raise their voices, Lord, and their shout would go up against so much of these things, Lord, that are going on, Lord. They'd raise a ruckus, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I especially pray for Illinois, because that's where our grandson is, Lord, and in the Illinois school, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that. We're praying that you would allow something to happen, and that victory would get out of Illinois and not be forced to have Jonah under that stuff, under those teachings, Lord, and even other things that are already bad enough, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that you would arrange that, and Lord, that you would move in the hearts of parents, and they would really just rise up, Lord, against these things everywhere, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I believe, yeah, Missy.
You know, something came to me, and, you know, I think we're pretty close to the start of this trend has been a long, long time ago with Sunday school, with Christians. And now, wait a minute, let me, because many of the people, God's people, has given up their responsibility of teaching their children about God and letting everybody else have that responsibility. And it's filtered down through a lot of other things. So, Father, I just want to pray, Lord, that first and foremost, Lord, that your elect in particular, Lord, the parents, that they come to the realization, the understanding, Lord, give them the understanding, the truth, that they are first and foremost responsible for teaching their children about you. And they are responsible first and foremost for their children above anybody else, period, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I cast down everything, every demonic spirit that is working in this realm of taking responsibility away from the parents and the parents giving it up. I thank you, Lord. I bind up every spirit that is working in this realm and that has blinded the parents. And I thank you, Lord, for taking the scales off the rise and giving them the truth, Lord, and setting them free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
Hey, Deb, I just wanted to say to you, if you think it's just in Illinois and not in Tennessee, you're very, very wrong. It's everywhere, nationwide. It may not be as severe here as it is like in Chicago, but it's here too.
Yeah, that's what I pray everywhere.
Yeah.
Illinois and everywhere. They everywhere raise their voices. Yeah.
It's the leftist teachers.
Oh yeah.
And the leftist agenda. And that's what it is. And just like Missy said, it's been happening for a long time. It started out with you can't correct your child or else you go to jail. And now we can teach them whatever we want because you can't correct them. So
yeah, that's true. I believe that.
You know, it's been happening for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great thing about homes, you know. You can have those, like I've got mine, that paddle, it says respect the fire up there. They can't see that. And you tell them kids, you know. You had, you know, y'all know how to spank kids, don't you? You spank them first, and you tell them why you're spanking them, and then you love them afterwards and tell them, you know, you do that, and that way they won't turn against you, hopefully. I'm just kidding. No, but that's why I always did it. I'd always love them after I did it, you know, and say, look, I don't like to do that, but in order for you to learn what's right and what's wrong, that has to happen, you know. And if you do it again, it's going to be a little bit harder the next time. And then eventually I might have to snatch your head off, put it in your back pocket, and there you be, you see. You have to bring them up. And I'm just kidding. But you do have to have discipline in the home. Yeah, go ahead, Judy. You've been waiting, Joe. I'll get right back to you.
Well, Sue, yeah, let's go first.
Yeah, you're talking about all that. Just made me think about how parents, I think gradually the enemy just came in and gradually took a lot away from the parents because they had, both of them had to work to a job. So there wasn't that time that they could have. But then again, you could look at it too, like sometimes some people did have to work just to put food on the table. But there are people out there that work just because they want more material stuff, or yep, they're overworking for those things that they want right away, and they end up having a high bill on stuff. You know, like people that want to own a house and they get a high mortgage, and then they end up having to both work. So it's like the people have to recognize that all this thing that they're working for is nothing compared to their children. You know, I mean, all this material stuff that they want is not going to benefit their children, because their children are left at home by themselves. Sometimes both parents have to work. I mean, I came from a family where both of them had to work, but it was just to be in, I mean, with eight kids, you got to feed them, you know? So it was for that reason, but not for any material stuff as much. But so I just lift up the people, Father God, all over our nation, our land, Lord, that you would just put it on their hearts, Lord, to see that all the stuff that the world has to offer is not going to satisfy them, and it's not going to satisfy their children. Lord, a lot of times parents want to get all this. They feel guilty because they have to work full time, and they feel guilty, so they get all these things that the kid, they think the kids want, Lord. But what they really need is you, Lord, your life in them. Father, what good is their life on this earth if they don't have eternal life? So, Lord, put it on the hearts of people all over this area and in this land, and even other areas, other lands, to see that what's really important in life is not the things, not all that they have or anything, but if they don't have you, they don't have eternal life. So Lord, just work mightily in their hearts, bring revival to their hearts, help them to see what they really truly need in their lives. And we bind up those evil spirits that are hindering them and lying and deceiving them, thinking that this is what they need in their lives, or it's just a lie from the pit of hell. So we just tell those, bind up all those evil spirits that are lying to them and deceiving them and seducing them into getting all the things of the world, which are nothing. Amen. So thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for working on them, and send forth your angels and ministering spirits, and even those that have your word, laborers to go forth to help them to see what they need to see, and open the hearts of people's, open their hearts to see. Grant them repentance. Grant them to see what they need to see in Jesus' name for your kingdom. Amen. And now, sorry, now do.
Now, I've got a prayer request. My daughter, Amy, that's in jail, she had wrote me and said that she got moved into with a lady that does Bible studies. So I thought, oh, that's wonderful, Lord. But now she's telling me this lady is a Jehovah's Witness. and she's starting to believe some of the things that she's saying. She says, well, a lot of the stuff she's saying sounds pretty good, and it sounds just like what you believe. So she said she wants me to write down the differences and give her scriptures and stuff. So, Lord, I'm asking you to give me the right things to say to her and right information to give her. And, Lord, also, I would ask that you fill Amy with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can talk to Amy and tell her what's right and what's wrong. And I thank you, Lord, that you're getting her through this time that she is in jail. Give her courage. Give her positive thinking. Just let her teach her more to come closer to you and pray. And I thank you, Lord, for taking care of her. And I thank you, Lord, for having me step back, but yet do this with the Jehovah's Witness thing. So thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, Judy, the Jehovah's Witness Bible is a fallacy. It's been retranslated four or five times, and it has everything contrary to what you believe in. So the fact that it's the New World Translation Bible, that's what it's called, the New World Translation, it's no good. Did you understand that?
The best thing to tell, yeah, that's good. The best thing to tell them, Judy, tell her, is look, to not be deceived, you need to read the Bible for yourself. Study the New Testament. Don't worry about the Old Testament. And get in the New Testament and find out and read everything that you read, believe. Believe everything you read in there. And then when somebody comes up like a Jehovah's Witness or a Baptist or anybody like that, you'll understand that there's error there.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I did ask her to ask that girl if she would read our Real Good News. I said I even challenged her to read that, and I would send it to her. But we'll see what she gets on the answer on that.
Also, wait, I'd like to pray for her too. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you give Amy a heart to want to know what your word truly says. Just open up her eyes to the truth, open her ears to hear, and but through the Spirit, through your Spirit, Father, to hear your word, your truth. Lord, just give her this the spiritual understanding that she needs. Give her the revelations that she needs that would counteract even this Jehovah's Witness lady, that she would start to see that that's not the way to go, Father. You just open her heart to see. Open her ears. Grant her to have that an understanding of your word. Give that to her, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's all kinds of stuff out there, the difference between Jehovah's Witness and Christianity. But even some of that's misleading too. But anyway. All right. Anybody else? Hi, Tim. Hi, Natasha. What's up, girl? All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? I recommend Thursday night. Let me throw this in there right quick. I recommend that Thursday night we'll be praising, worship, and praying. Okay? We pray and praise on Thursday night. That's the 31st, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
I just wanted to pray before we get beyond this. I wanted to pray for Amy as well. Lord, I just thank you and praise you that this is a trial that you've given Amy. And Lord, I just trust and believe that she's gonna do well in it. Lord, I thank you and praise you that she's coming to her mom because she respects her mom, because she knows her mom has faith and that her mom has the truth. Father, I'm just bold to ask that you would give Amy a dream that she's going to be able to understand, that's going to give her some discernment about this situation with her cellmate. And Lord, I just pray that you're going to put on Amy's heart by the power of the Holy Spirit to ask questions that this girl can't answer, because they don't know how to operate outside of their script. And if you get outside of their script, they have nothing. And so, Lord, I just thank you and praise you that you are putting a hedge of protection around Amy. Lord, that you're drawing her to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you enlighten the eyes of her understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you grant unto her the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you strengthen her in the inner man, that even in this time of being in jail, Lord, it's going to be a time of real growth for Amy's spirit man, and that you do give her that desire as her mom has encouraged her, or as Michael was praying, that she's going to be in the Word. And Lord, you're going to give her a love of the truth, because if she has a love of the truth, she's not going to be deceived. And Lord, we pray for her cellmate, that her cellmate's going to get drawn out of this Jehovah's Witness mess and get really saved too. And so, Lord, we're just trusting and believing that you're working everything together for good here. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I believe it. All right, Julie. Are you back at home? Already, girl, that was a quick trip. Did you have a good trip? Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's good to see you. Is it good to be back home? Okay. Did you have a good time up there with Barry and Marilyn? You better say yeah.
I was blessed. I had a really good time.
Awesome.
Good.
Thank you.
Yep, it was good. Good to see everybody.
Amen.
Back home. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Good.
All right. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to pray about or comment on? You got something you want to comment on, Dave? Oh, I thought you shaking your head. I just wondered. Just wondering, brother. Okay. Hi, Charity. Hi, Charity. And Chad. Can't hear you. We're not being able to hear you, Charity, for whatever reason. You're unmuted on this end. Maybe you're muted on your phone. Oh. Okay. All right, anybody else? Joe, did you have something? Remember, I just now got back to.
No, I just wanted to add to that prayer for the schools. I guess something that kind of was missed on, but just okay. As important as the PTAs. You know, I don't know if that's known what that is nationally. I guess that's like there's a middle group of people who work with those in power and push it on the rest of everybody. You know, like the parent. Used to be controlled by the parents, you know, and all that. And I've done minor understandings that, you know, looked at what people said. It's like they put their own people, you know, the deep state on these boards. You say like they're just like a governing board and they oversee the school systems, you know, and the curriculum and all that. So that's why Common Core and all that's gone through, because the deep state's people have pushed it, you know, the same with this homosexual agenda and all that. So I want to pray against that. And just God will put his people, or put people that are for those old values, those old ways of, education back into those systems. So yeah, just go and agree with me. Father, we just, I want to add to these prayers for the school system, Lord. We thank you for this period of peace and just prosperity that you brought to America here, you know, and in this season where, you know, you're turning things around in the government and even in our culture, Lord, you know, we thank you for this, you know, just the changes you're going to be making in the school systems. We just ask that you would totally abolish the Department of Education, where ultimately this all comes from, you know, and it's restore to an, you know, whatever extent you want, power back to the states. You know, it was always in the states to dictate what they wanted to teach in their school systems. And it was the people, you know, that dictated, okay, this is what we're going to teach and this is what we're not going to teach. So we asked in these PTA groups that you would put your people, you'd put Christians in there who care about these students. And people who, I mean, even if they're not Christians, they care about, you know, just the traditional role of education in one's life. You know, what our founders, or what the founders of this nation, you know, wanted education to be. Find people like that, Lord, and just grant them such favor that they could get into these groups. And then, Lord, you would just, you'd give them such wisdom and discernment that they would know, okay, this is good stuff. We need to teach this. Okay, this is garbage. This has to go. So we thank you, Lord, in this season of, you know, peace and prosperity to a good extent that, you know, we would start to see this pop up around the nation. Lord, just start raising up these people to want to volunteer, you know, fully volunteer, who care about their kids' education, who care about other people's kids' education, and put them on these boards, you know, cause the ones that are there and, you know, who don't need to be there, cause them to leave, cause them to lose interest in the deep state agenda of indoctrinating children. I wouldn't even call it educating. I'd call it indoctrinating. They're literally indoctrinating these children, you know, in this agenda. So we ask that, you know, those who should be on their way out, Lord, send them on their way out, you know, and cause them to lose total interest in this whole agenda. And Lord, you know, we thank you for what you're going to do here. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, I'm muted. Yeah, go ahead. Where'd Charity go? She had her hand up. Uh-oh, she left out. Okay, anyone else? How many of you are aware of what's going on in the government? Yeah, I think we all are to an extent. There's a race, it seems like, between the deep state and the white hats. The deep state wants to get this treason, I mean, this impeachment thing, as silly as it sounds, as it is. There's people that are working behind the scenes trying to get some GOP Republicans to switch and flip on that. And they've already gotten some to do that. And I think it's by blackmail, possibly, and coercion. And, they've gotten, they need, I think it's somewhere around 25 votes to get this impeachment passed through the Senate, and they've already gotten 10 of them to flip. And they're just working. Paul Ryan's working. Mitt Romney's working, and John Bolton's working against Trump. Just be praying for that. I'd like to pray against that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against these never-Trumpers, these Constitution haters, right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you have a fallout. You send your lying angels in there between them that would cause them to have a small war between the three of them in the deep state to cause confusion in their ranks and to get them out of the Senate. Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. We send your angels forth to do that right now in the name of Jesus, to cause trouble between Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, John Bolton, in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do that and that we won't have any problems like this anymore. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you place it in Trump's heart to offer reconciliation to all of those out there that have been compromised, that want to do the right thing, but they can't because of fear. And Lord, we ask that you place it in Trump's heart to offer reconciliation if they just do what's right. And Lord, we thank you that that's going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
Amen. I want to agree on a prayer too, relating to that. Father, I just pray that you would put a stop to many of those that are wanting to vote against or wanting to vote against Trump for this impeachment. I pray that you would put a glitch in many of their lives so that there would not be able to be able to vote against Trump. You would do something even with their families, whatever needs to be putting a stop to it, that they would not be able to do the voting against him that they want to do. Lord, you just bring something across their path and their families with their lives so that they, and even put fear in the ones that are the Republicans, like Michael had said, that are afraid. Put some fear in them about put the fear in them about a fear of you in them, that they would see they need to vote against this impeachment and not for it. Just do whatever you need to do to reach them and show them the way they need to go. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe it. Jesus' name. All right. Yeah, Leah.
We also pray for you giving them dreams, Lord God, to show them what to do and to maybe even take them to hell if need be to make them act right and make it happen, Lord God. Give them dreams and visions and things that they've never had before and explain to them in those dreams and visions what you want them to do, not what they want to do, but what you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're looking for the victory. Father, we just pray a hedge of protection around Trump, his cabinet, and his family, and all the white hats, in Jesus' name, that nothing that the enemy tries to do would in any way harm them, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for giving stamina to President Trump. I didn't think any one man had as much stamina as that man there, but boy, he sure has had a backbone of iron. And Father, you gave it to him. We thank you for it, Father, for putting him up there to do that, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all you're doing in our president, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for sending godly, spirit-filled men up there to pray for that man in a mighty way. that the Spirit of God would just be all over him, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I know at some point in time, Lord, that you may just translate somebody into his office while he's in there alone some night or someday. And Lord, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Father, for helping our president, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I also encourage all of us on here to go to whitehouse.gov and send him a letter encouraging him. And, you know, you can even quote him scripture or pray for him or all kinds of things. He likes that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
You don't have to be politically active to write him a letter of thanks and support and just let him know how you feel.
Amen. Whitehouse.gov.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes, can. Go ahead.
Oh, praise God. Yeah, I don't know why it wasn't working before. I kept muting and unmuting. And can you hear me? Nobody can hear me. Oh, well, I can hear you. Praise God. Hey, I appreciate everyone's prayers. It's good to be back with y'all. And I had something that the Lord brought to my attention yesterday, and I was praying about how to word this on here. It's quite disgusting, but I have a great burden to pray about this. And I know there's a lot of power in agreement, and so there's a whole lot of power available here. Thank you, Lord. I got some information online yesterday that some of you might be familiar with this. There's been an LGBT agenda in the schools for some time, and they have what's called drag queen story hour. They have it in the local libraries and in cities and towns around the nation, and now they've been bringing it into the schools and the bookstores also. And I just want to pray against it. I don't really think I need to give, many details, but they're doing some really disgusting things. I mean, they're being very blatant right in front of these little children in preschool on up. So I don't think I really need to share any more than that right now. So I just want to pray against that. If anybody else, if the Lord puts anything else on anything on anyone else's heart, that would be great. So I guess I'll just start and we'll go from there. Does that sound good?
That sounds fine. Chad, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, Father, you are an awesome God. And Lord, I know that many judgments are already coming upon this nation because of the wickedness that's being released in certain places. I remember a word that came forth some time ago, a prophetic word that the judgment would come on each area of the nation in accordance with the filth and sin that's being released. And I see all the fires going on in California. California is just on fire right now. There are pictures of it, and people are saying it looks like literally like hell on earth down there. And a lot of this filth has come right out of legislation and policies that have been passed in California. And actually, first, I think I'll just pray for them, since that's coming to me, my attention now. Lord, we just pray for our brothers and sisters in California. There are probably many there that you've been impressing for a while to leave. And sometimes, Lord, maybe because of circumstances or because sometimes it's just hard to leave an area that that a person has been fond of for a while and just grown very accustomed with. So we pray that you would give them grace, Lord, to leave, and that they wouldn't all have to leave with a fire in their backyards. That you would just move them, Lord, in your sovereignty. And for those that you have called to stay there and stand in this hour, we ask for a supernatural hedge of protection about them in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord. And Lord, we pray for these children, Lord, whose eyes have had to see things and minds have had to experience things that you are appalled with, Lord. And we come against these spirits of perversion and sexual lust and witchcraft, manipulation, control, sorcery and voodoo, and division, and all these spirits working through this LGBT agenda. We bind you and we command you to go from these children now in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that you would work a quick healing in their minds, and that you would get them out of these schools, Lord, in situations where they just perhaps need to be removed from the school system, Lord, because, Lord, your judgment is going forth, and we know that some of these things can't be stopped, but we know that others, in other cases, they can be lessened and they can be cut short. So we pray, Lord, where it's possible, that you would cause your people to rise up and take a stand in these situations, Lord, and that you would give them grace and wisdom on how to do it, Lord, because it takes great wisdom and it takes your leading, Lord, and we pray that you would do that. And in other cases, Lord, where the schools are just totally corrupted, Lord, and perhaps some have crossed the point of no return, we pray that you would just somehow sovereignly keep the children home on certain days, Lord, or just move them, get them out of those schools and bring it to their parents' attention, Lord. I just had a picture of this, like a poor child coming home with a dazed look on his face or her face, and confused and being tormented because of something they've experienced in that day and don't even know how to communicate it. Lord, we pray that you give discernment to parents that are believers, Lord, that have children that have been put in these situations, Lord, that you would move, Lord, and just move on their behalf and have mercy, Father, in Jesus' name. And move your mighty hand, Lord, move in power, move on behalf of these children, Lord, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, I know, Chad, y'all are really hit up there in the Northwest in those blue states.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, you know, all over the Portland area. Interestingly, the greater parts of Oregon, there's actually a lot of conservative folks, I guess as they call them, but there are a lot of believers, and it's quite a dichotomy. Portland is just like a hub of some of the worst stuff in the nation. And I think euthanasia went forth from the Portland first, and Oregon was the first state to legalize abortion, and it happened in the Portland. I remember if it happened in the Portland area, but somewhere around here anyway, and a lot of stuff. But anyway, yeah, we're just this happened. There's this case here where this happened at a school in it was in Texas. I don't know if I'll. I guess I'll just read a little bit, and I know the Lord will lead us to pray. You know, God will lead people to pray, just as the Lord, you know, puts it on your hearts to just ask for to watch and pray for the sake of these kids. Because my gosh, this is just horrible. I'm just gonna read just a little tiny bit, if that's okay.
Yeah.
It says what they're teaching is menstruation and the sickening doctrine of children into the LGBT agenda. No, men do not have periods, and drag queens should not be flashing themselves at children. That's what's happening now in the schools. Let's see, I'll skip this part. With that said, let me offer a warning here. Below are examples of said unraveling of society, which some will find distasteful, perverted, and sickening, but to bury our heads in the sand and ignore what is happening on a national level is to leave ourselves totally unprepared to protect our children, grandchildren, family, and friends from an insidious agenda of indoctrinating society into the LGBT agenda. let's see. The drag queen story hour has been a controversial topic for a while now, where men dressed as women are being allowed in schools, libraries, and other places where children attend to read stories to them. We have seen convicted sex offender drag queens reading to children at the public library in Houston, Texas. We have seen completely inappropriate quote, shows, unquote, after story hour where adults were not allowed to remain. More recently, I'm just skipping parts I don't need to share on here. A drag queen in Minnesota was caught doing something horrible, right in front of the children in school. So while the media and the LGBT community continues to claim that this type of grooming, gets called grooming, in quotes, is nothing to worry about, the drag queen story, our website itself explains the agenda quite clearly. Drag Queen Story Hour is just what it sounds like. Drag queens reading stories to children in libraries, schools, and bookstores. DQSH captures the imagination and play of the gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous, positive, and unabashedly queer role models. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where people can present as they wish, where dress up is real. They admit to trying to indoctrinate children into the queer lifestyle. What is wrong with the parents that are allowing their children to participate in this kind of activity? Skip all this. I think you all get the point pretty much. I think I can probably stop there. It's just, you know, this gender fluidity, as it's called, which I think we're all pretty much familiar with, that's going on in society. These perversions are, they're pushing it, you know, in these schools. So thank you everyone for bearing with me. It was a great burden after I read it yesterday. I had to fight off some anger for a little while and pray and cast down things. And the Lord helped me to think, get in a place where I could really pray and not be ruled by anger, because I know the enemy wants to get me in anger, and then if I'm not careful, I get out of favor with God myself. So he's helped me to be a watchman over my own soul in that way and make sure I'm guarding my heart, and then okay, now I can go to battle in the right frame of being in peace and hearing from the Lord and pray in faith and knowing that God is going to move and that he's sending forth angels. So speaking of sending forth angels, I know you, Michael, and David have been teaching on this for a while now. We pray, Lord, that you would send forth angels. We command the angels to go forth to protect these children, to block eyes and block ears at times, to protect from these things they just don't need to see and hear at key times, at key points, and crucial times. And so thank you, Lord, for sending forth your angels in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with me. And I appreciate your prayers and agreement here.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Denny.
Yeah, hi, Chad. Thank you very much. That righteous anger is a good anger, but we do turn it to prayer, you know, but it's not bad to feel that anger. And it does make you angry, righteously so. So, but it just helps you put that burden to prayer. So, amen.
Yeah, thank you, Danny. I appreciate that. I'm going to mute myself here again in just a moment, but I appreciate that because that's a little bit of confirmation. I felt like, okay, well, yeah, this is wrong, and I should be indignant, but yeah, turning it towards prayer. So thank you. I appreciate that, brother.
Amen. That's part of that deep state agenda. So any time that you can come against Christianity and their values is what this is about. Thank you, Lord. You're going to bring it down in our community anyway. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Joe.
Well, I just wanted to actually kind of jog my memory. Thanks, Chad, for bringing that up. It kind of jogged my memory there. I have an old friend, you know, I think he was a high school friend that, I believe he was actually spirit-filled. I don't know. I think he was, he kind of introduced me there for a little bit when I was going to the churches, to a Pentecostal church. So that was like probably one of the most exposures I had to the understanding of how the Holy Spirit operates. But at one point, he was one who kind of led me that area. But I mean, he seemed like he was really on fire for the Lord. He's actually, I don't know how long he's been, you know, I mean, you know, became a homosexual, but I've got him as a friend on Facebook. He, you know, I kind of found this out, and I don't know what caused it, you know, but I want to pray for him. His name's Ramon, you know, and so it's, like I said, you know, I'm not sure how many years he's been involved in it, but it's, there's a big, I mean, you know, there's a community down in Cincinnati, south of me, of course, you know, and you know, yeah, he hangs out with all those kind of people, you know, the drag queens, and there's others within that. LGBTQ is the other little, you know, letter they've added to their name. He hangs out with all those folks, and so I want to lift him up in prayer, and anyone else there that of the remnant within this community, you know, they just you know, there's just a lot of confusion there, you know, a lot, not just perversion, but a lot of confusion. So I just want to lift him up, and just the Lord would draw him back, you know, help him, whatever he needs to deal with, you know, abuse or whatever, that he would realize, you know, what he once had is the answer. So Father, I just, I lift Ramon up to you. I lift all the remnant, Lord, and the LGBTQ community out there, Lord, and in our nation, who's just been seduced and lied to, you know, and deceived by these spirits, you know, of homosexuality, lesbianism, you know, the transgenderism, all that stuff. There's a major, you know, the one thing that just comes to mind through all of this is confusion, not just perversion, but confusion, you know, confused. They're very confused, Lord, and deceived about just the basic understandings of who they are, you know, of just, of their own sexuality, but of, you know, of their own desires as men and as women that you gave them, Lord. You know, the enemy is the master counterfeiter. He's there to, you know, counterfeit or even, you know, mess up what you created, Lord. So we ask for, I pray for Ramon that you would begin to draw him back, Lord, as I'm sure you probably are. You know, I believe he's part of the remnant. You know, I'm going to stand in faith, Lord, and believe he's part of the elect. And Lord, would you just keep putting it on his mind, and you know, everyone else out there who's part of your elect, that you know, if they once were, you know, in your body, but then they fell away, Lord, draw them back. But those who are not, show yourself to them. Pour out your love upon them. You know, a lot of homosexuals and others, they've never had their father's love, and they go seeking it in another man or with a woman, you know, a woman. So I ask that you would pour out your love upon these people, and you would love them. Show them what genuine true love is, you know, and bring believers in their lives that will love them, you know, the way that they were never loved growing up. And so we thank you for the salvation. We thank you for the revival that's going to break out in these groups, Lord, nationally and even internationally. So we just, you know, we come against every spirit that's just lying to them, keeping them deceived, thinking, oh, I'm born this way, you know, or I was, you know, I can't change. It's just, it's all lies. So we thank you, Lord, that you're going to show them the truth, open their eyes to the truth, cause them, put fear in them as well, that, you know, to realize, hey, I've got to deal with this, you know, whatever it is, I don't understand it. I've got to deal with it. And I've got to understand, you know, understand it. So Lord, just bring, put fear in each and every one of their hearts, that they would realize where they're at is very destructive, and that they would deal with these things that they need to, so that they could turn to you ultimately. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Yeah, let's see here where we are here in our little book. This little book.
Michael?
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that everybody was done about that subject, but I wanted to go back to the Lord reminded me about something about this impeachment that they're trying to do. There's been two prophets that had gotten a word from the Lord before Trump was even in office, Mark Taylor and Kim Clement. Both of them said that in their own, you know, giving their prophecies, that the Lord was going to put him into office. Trump was going to be in office. Now, I don't know about Mark Taylor, but Kim Clement said that there was not going to be any impeachment done on Trump. More than once, God told him that he was not going to be impeached, no matter what. There, and the prophecy, I saw it recently on YouTube, maybe about a month ago. But it's been there. I mean, because Kim Clement's home with the Lord now, but his prophecy, it was very, very strong in saying that he was not going to get impeached. So, Lord, I remind you, Father, when you give a word to your prophets, that your prophets give to your people, Father, I stand on that. We stand on those words, believing that that's going to come to pass. We know, Father, that you put Trump into office for your purpose and for your kingdom. And nothing that the enemy would try to do to stop that is going to work in the name of Jesus, because you said that he is not going to get impeached. So we stand on that promise. We stand on those words, and we stand on what you want to do in Trump, and that he will be able to continue to do what you want him to do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And the reason he's not going to get impeached is because we're praying for him also. Mm-hmm. That's why the prophecy is given. Now it's up to us to pray and keep him in office. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's good. Thank you for reminding us, Sue. I hadn't really heard any of his prophecies like that, but that's good. I like that. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling this prophecy.
Yes.
Okay. Did we ever finish five? Did we ever finish chapter five? I thought we did. We got to chapter six, didn't we? Right. Yeah. Okay. Chapter six. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Lord, bless us tonight. There's a lot of revelations on the shepherd that looks at Psalms 23. Thank you, Father. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left to themselves, they will follow the same trails until they become ruts, graze the same hills until they turn to desert wastes, pollute their own ground until it is corrupt with disease and parasites. Many of the world's finest sheep ranges have been ruined beyond repair by overgrazing, poor management, and indifferent or ignorant sheep owners. One need only travel through places like Spain and Greece and Mesopotamia, North Africa, and even parts of the Western United States and New Zealand or Australia to see the havoc wrought by sheep on the land. Some areas in these countries, which were formerly productive grasslands, have gradually been reduced to ravaged wastelands. Too many sheep over too many years under poor management have brought nothing but poverty and disaster in their wake. A commonly held but serious misconception about sheep is that they can just get along anywhere. The truth is quite the reverse. No other class of livestock requires more careful handling, more detailed direction than do sheep. No doubt David, as a shepherd himself, had learned this firsthand from tough experience. And he knew beyond dispute that if the flock was to flourish and the owner's reputation was to be held in high esteem as a good manager, the sheep had to be constantly under his meticulous control and guidance. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, Tim, as far as the destruction that these sheep can do to a pasture and how they do it?
Well, yeah, like he said, that they they get a favorite spot, and they'll go there. Oh, there's nothing left, and they just keep beating the ground to death, you know, like there's something there. And there could be green, good pasture not very far away, but they're not very smart in their thing. They are creatures of habit. If they go to, you know, they just hit the same piece of ground over and over again if you let them. We had one hillside that it was nice and sunny, and they liked it. You know, they'd like to graze there, but they or lay there and soak up the sun and ruminate. But they would do the same thing that he's talking about. And, you know, I had to chase them off and, you know, go down there where it's green and get something good to eat. they you know, half hour later, you turn your back, they'd be back up there, paw hurt. I didn't know a lot about, you know, what he's talking about at the time. So I was kind of, you know, flying by the seat of my pants, but I did know that if they overgraze, that it gives the parasites a real chance to get into the grass when it's real short. And so we were trying to discourage that. And it was a process, but we did pretty good.
Okay. All right. The first sheep farm I purchased as a young man was a piece of derelict land that had been sheeped to death. An absentee owner had rented the place to a tenant. The latter simply loaded the ranch with sheep and then left them pretty much to their own ways. The result was utter desolation. Fields became so overgrazed and impoverished, they would grow little but poverty grass. Little sheep trails had deteriorated into great gullies. Erosion on the slopes was rampant, and the whole place was ravaged almost beyond repair. And all of this happened simply because the sheep, instead of being managed and handled with intelligent care, had been left to struggle for themselves, left to go their own way, left to the whims of their own destructive habits. And the consequence of such indifference is that the sheep gnaw the grass to the very ground until even the roots are damaged. I have seen places in Africa where grass roots were pawed out of the soil, leaving utter barrenness behind. Such abuse means loss of fertility and the exposure of the land to all the ravages of erosion. Because of the behavior of sheep and their preference for certain favored spots, these well-worn areas become quickly infested with parasites of all kinds. In a short time, a whole flock can thus become infected with worms, nematodes, and scab. Yeah. The final upshot is that both land and owner are ruined while the sheep become thin, wasted, and sickly. The intelligent shepherd is aware of all of this, not only just for the welfare of his sheep and the health of his land, but also for his own sake and reputation as a rancher. He must take the necessary precautions to safeguard against these adverse animal traits. Such habits in themselves comprise very serious hazards. The greatest single safeguard which a shepherd has in handling his flock is to keep them on the move. That is to say, they dare not be left on the same ground too long. They must be shifted from pasture to pasture periodically. This prevents overgrazing of the forage. It also avoids the rutting of trails and erosion of land from overuse. It forestalls the reinfestation of the sheep with internal parasites or disease, since the sheep move off the infested ground before these organisms complete their life cycles. In a word, there must be a predetermined plan of action, a deliberate planned rotation from one grazing ground to another, in line with right and proper principles of sound management. This is precisely the sort of action and the idea David had in mind when he spoke of being led in paths of righteousness. You know, one thing about it, folks, that we're going to get out of this, there's going to be some of you going to buy some sheep, start sheep herding. You know, you'll know what to do, praise God. In this following of a precise plan of operation lies the secret for healthy flocks and healthy land. Here's the key to successful sheep husbandry. The owner's entire name and reputation depends on how effectively and efficiently he keeps his charges moving onto wholesome, new, fresh forage. The one who directs his flock along this course is sure of success. Now, I have a question right here, Tim, and I may have asked this before, but I'm going to ask it again. How short does the grass have to be before you need to move it?
I don't know the answer to that, but I personally would kind of did it to where when they were, you know, chewing and not getting anything or trying to bite and not, there wasn't anything there. It's time to move them around and get them to where there was something to eat. But there's two little things I'd like to say real quick while I've got the floor here.
Yeah.
One of them, that I had this book when I had sheep, because there's a lot of information in here, like you said. The other thing was that not very long into it, Debbie brought me a book by, or maybe it's just a quote, I don't know. I just remember this one quote about it. That this guy said he was a sheep farmer, but it really wasn't a sheep farmer. He was a grass grower. And that's, you know, that's where he put all his effort in, was providing pasture. And then the sheep did the rest. In hearing this book and thinking about thinking back on it, that's a lot of what it is, you know, being provided good pasture is a lot of what the sheep required. That's all.
You know what I see in this, don't you? I see in this is if I had a place that had a big front yard and a big backyard, I'm going to put me some sheep out in the front yard, and when they get that cut down, I'm going to put them in the backyard and let them cut that down. And then flipping back up to the, you know what I'm saying? I'd have an automatic lawnmower going. Amen. Then we'd have fertilizer to put in the garden. Thank you, Jim. Well, the hands went up then, gone. So I'll get back with you, Missy.
You know, as you were reading this, I couldn't help but, this is why we have Trump in office, because he's a good shepherd for this nation. Because he's brought people jobs where they were, you know, the economy, everything was a mess before he came in. Now he's straightening things out. You know, he's a good shepherd for our nation to be able to bring it to where it's supposed to be. You know, it's kind of blessing, because that's come to my mind. Lord, thank you, Father.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
But what you were saying about putting the sheep in the front and the back of your yard, I heard goats are good for that too. I don't know if goats eat the grass down as bad as sheep do, but you know, it reminded me of years ago. I worked at this one store, and one of the guys, I was saying something about having to mow the lawn or having to get a lawnmower or something. I don't know, and he says, well, I can bring my lawnmowers over. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? goats. And I never knew that people, you know, would actually use goats to keep their grass down, you know. But anyway, so I thought that was kind of funny.
So I'm I tell you, a lot of people use goats for is to clean out the underbrush. They like deer. They'll eat all the underbrush and stuff. Yeah, Leah.
Hey, I think Joe ought to download the link to this, because Julie doesn't have it, Larry doesn't have it, Chad doesn't have it.
Link to what?
The link you're talking to this about the book. Show? Yeah.
Okay.
You got that, Joe? All right. So for all you guys that don't have it, the link is right there.
Amen. What were you showing us, Julie?
She's got the book.
Oh, okay. All right, amen. There you go. Yeah, the book is good. She's got the book. I got the book. Everybody's got the book. Okay. Well, the goats can chew. They're not as susceptible to chewing all the way to the ground, I don't think, like a sheep are. The sheep does a little cleaner job because of the way their teeth are made. They can eat corn to a chain link fence, I expect. So, anyway. All right. Anybody else got anything? Casting my mind's eye back over the years that I kept sheep. Somebody's unmuted. Leon. I got you. Casting my mind's eye back over the years that I kept sheep, no other single aspect of ranch operations commanded more of my careful attention than this moving of the sheep. It literally dominated all my decisions. Not a day went by but what I would walk over the pasture in which the sheep were feeding to observe the balance between its growth and the grazing pressure upon it. As soon as the point was reached where I felt the maximum benefit for both sheep and land was not being met, the sheep were moved to a fresh field. On the average, this meant they were put onto new ground almost every week. So apparently he had the right amount of sheep for the acreage to leave them in one spot for a week. In very large measure, the success I enjoyed in sheep ranching must be attributed to this care in managing my flock. A similar procedure applies to flocks of sheep taken out on summer ranges in the hills by itinerant herders. They deliberately lead or drive their sheep onto fresh range almost every day. A pattern of grazing is worked out carefully in advance so that the sheep do not feed over the same ground too long or too frequently. Some shepherds set up a base camp and fan out from it in wide circles like the lobes of a clover leaf, covering new pasturage each day, returning to camp at night. I can see that. That'd be awesome. Coupled with this entire concept of management, there is, of course, the owner's intimate knowledge of his pastures. He has been all over this ground again and again. He knows its very advantage and every drawback. He knows where his flock will thrive, and he is aware of where the feed is poor. So he acts accordingly. A point worthy of mention here is that whenever the shepherd opens a gate into a fresh pasture, the sheep are filled with excitement. I can see that. And as they go through the gate, even the staid old ewes will often kick up their heels and leap with delight at the prospect of finding fresh feed. How they enjoy being led onto new ground. Can anybody see any parallels here? Yeah, Dave.
You know, I read through this a couple times, and where he takes it at the end, I like where we're staying here, because he's talking about what I see and what I relate to this is the Word of God, because you're getting the Lord should, if you're letting the Lord guide and you're being guided by the Lord in the Word, he's going to take you around in the pasture of his Word. And you're going to be fed and you're going to be grazing on what he's given you, and you're going to be taking it in, and then but you're not going to stay there very long, because he's going to have you move on to other things too. And you may go back and visit things, but you're going to be constantly moving forward and around the Word, as opposed to when something's overgrazing happens when you're stuck in a dead religion. And there's nothing new coming in there. You're gnawing at the ground, trying to get whatever you can out of it, and it's just dying. root, and you're getting parasites. You're getting all the you're getting all the bad stuff that's coming around you because you're not getting a fresh graze in you. You're not getting some fresh food. It's just kind of and it's stale. Some of the times it rotates over and over and over. They got that same thing coming out. It's almost like a yearly plan. You can be out there and go back there at the same time next year, and I'll be talking about the same thing that you left a year ago because they're on that routine. They're going through this thing, and they hear that over and over and over, and you're not getting fed anything fresh, anything new. The Lord's not in it, you know. Whereas if the Lord's the shepherd, he's going to be constantly bringing you in a new grass, bring you in a something new to chew on, something to see. Maybe you'll bring it back something to remind you about something in the past, but you'll see something new about that. You're never getting stale if you're being led by a Lord in the Word. There's always going to be something new, something more challenging, something that's going to be bringing you back and capturing you and changing you and leading your life. This is the way it should be in the life of the disciple, life of the follower. You're always going to be feeding and getting more life from the Lord, new life, and it's not going to stop. This is kind of how I see where he's, this should be, you know, this is where it's leading.
Yeah, Julie, go ahead. Thank you, Dave.
What Dave was sharing brought the scripture to mind is John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man go, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and go out and shall find pasture. He was saying he's like opening, when he was talking about opening up a gate and leading him in to find new pastures, you know, new grazing ground and, you know, fresh grass. And, you know, we have to go, we have to follow Jesus and go his way. And, you know, we'll be saved. We follow him. And we'll go in and out. We'll go in and out, and we'll find the pasture he's leading us, putting us in. Now, that's what was coming to me when Dave was sharing.
Amen. You know, we can graze on that new pasture for a while until we glean all we can from it, and then he moves us on to another pasture. That's awesome. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
Remember a lot of David's teachings early on when I was listening to him. He was talking about, you know, we need to ruminate on the word and sit and chew it and not just chow it down and move on. And that's what sheep do too. You know, they'll graze in an area and then they'll just park their carcass and sit and chew their cud. And so different pasture, you know, we can digest that and slowly get a lot out of it and then move on to something else. So that's another parallel of the sheep with us, hopefully.
Okay. We're going to be expert shepherds when we get through with this. I'm telling you, we're going to be eating lamb chops every day. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's see. Anybody else before I get into this human aspect?
I think it helps us understand too how the Lord leads us through the Word and how we understand how he's doing things and training and teaching us and always keeping us fed, so we understand how the shepherd's working in our lives also.
Amen. Y'all got any sheep over there in South Africa, Joe? Joe Britt.
Yeah, there's a lot of farmers, yes. I mean, it's more than in the Cape side. It's a lot of sheep there.
Oh, yeah.
On top here, where I live, is mostly is corn and.
Yeah. By the time we get through with this course here, Joe, you'll be able to go out there and buy you a herd and go to town.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot about sheep.
Yeah, me too. All right. Anyone else? Now, as we turn to the human aspect of this theme, we will be astonished at some of the parallels. As mentioned earlier, it is no mere whim on God's part to call us sheep. Our behavior patterns and life habits are so much like that of sheep, it's well nigh embarrassing. I can see that. First of all, Scripture points out that most of us are a stiff-necked and stubborn lot. We prefer to follow our own fancies and turn to our own ways. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, Isaiah 53:6. Isn't that the truth? God can give us a command, and we'll just act like we hadn't even heard a thing he said at times. I'm speaking for Michael now. You know, just say, nah, I don't think that means me. When in fact it does. And this we do deliberately, repeatedly, even to our own disadvantage. There is something almost terrifying about the destructive self-determination of a human being. It is inexorably interlocked with personal pride and self-assertion. We insist we know what is best for us, even though the disastrous results may be self-evident. Oh, howdy. I can relate to this. Now, I ain't the only one that can relate to this, am I? Okay. Just as sheep will blindly, habitually, and stupidly, now he's talking about y'all, follow one another along the same little trails till they become right. Help me, Jesus. All right, me too. Just as sheep will blindly, habitually, stupidly follow one another along the same little trails until they become ruts that erode into gigantic gullies, so we humans cling to the same habits that we have seen ruin others' lives. Ain't that the truth? And won't take a thing from anybody else. Oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Bless God, I'll just go and do it. End up hitting a stone wall. Turning to my own way simply means doing what I want. It implies that I feel free to assert my own wishes and carry out my own ideas. And this I do in spite of every warning. Oh, my goodness, man, he's pegging me. I don't know about y'all, but he is pegging me. Lord God, help me, Jesus. Wait, don't be sitting there with them sanctimonious eyeballs looking at me like I'm something else. Lord of God, I know y'all come off of that horse. We read in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. In contrast to which, Christ the Good Shepherd comes gently and says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14:6. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, John 10:10. The difficult point is that most of us don't want to come. We don't want to follow. We don't want to be led in the paths of righteousness. Somehow it goes against our grain. We actually prefer to turn to our own way, even though it may take us straight into trouble. Amen to that. The stubborn, self-willed, proud, self-sufficient sheep that persists in pursuing its old paths and grazing on its old polluted ground will end up a bag of bones on ruined land. the world we live in is full of such folk. Broken homes, broken hearts, derelict lives, and twisted personalities remind us everywhere of men and women who have gone their own way. We have a sick society struggling to survive on beleaguered ground. The greed and selfishness of mankind leave behind a legacy of ruin and remorse. Oh boy. Amid all this chaos and confusion, Christ the Good Shepherd comes and says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, Mark 8:34. But most of us, even as Christians, simply don't want to do this. We don't want to deny ourselves, give up our right to make our own decision. We don't want to follow. We don't want to be led. Of course, most of us, if confronted with this charge, would deny it. Yeah, absolutely. We would assert vehemently that we are led of the Lord. We would insist that we would follow wherever he leads. We sing songs to this effect and give mental assent to the idea. But as far as actually being led in paths of righteousness is concerned, precious few of us follow that path. Actually, this is the pivot point on which a Christian either goes on with God or at which point he goes back from following on. There are many willful, wayward, indifferent, self-interested Christians who cannot really be classified as followers of Christ. I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add or comment on? Yes, Anna.
This might be just slightly off topic, but I think it kind of goes. I think it's interesting, and maybe you guys already talked about this. I don't know. I've missed some of these outreaches, but I think it's interesting that sheep are such, like, I don't know what the word would be. I guess selfish creatures. They don't serve like a dog, you know. A dog serves in return. A dog loves to serve. A dog wants to give back. But a sheep is just in it for themselves entirely. And I think it's kind of an interesting parallel because, like, they think you got something, like when we would go to lock up the sheep at night in their pen, sometimes we didn't have anything for them. So me or Blake, we would pretend we did, pretend we had something good for them to eat, and we'd take it up there. And if they figured out that you didn't have anything for them, they had no will to please. They didn't want to go in there, and they'd fight you to get in that pen unless they were getting something out of it. And, you know, they'd start trying to push past you to get out, and, you know, will to serve, no will to please, like a dog or, you know, other animals where they, you know, they want to give back, sheep don't. And the same thing with their herd mentality with each other is they're real social, but it's only for themselves. They don't look out for each other whatsoever. They only want to be, they're only a herd because they individually want to be part of that herd. We would have the mothers up on the hill and their lambs would get lost. And so the mothers were just a few yards back on the hill and the lambs are running up and down the road, bawling like crazy, looking for their moms. But their moms had their mouths full and would just look up, watch them run by, and keep feeling, put their heads down, and would come back. And they do the same thing. Like, they just have no concern for each other. They're just really greedy animals, all in it for themselves. And I think it's kind of an interesting parallel, kind of goes along with that part of the book a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that explains exactly what he's talking about there, about some so-called Christian. Same one. You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. That's why it's imperative that when we read something in the Word of God, that we go ahead and do it, you know, those commands that God gives us. And that's just in the New Testament. I know just from personal experience myself, you know, you keep running into the same wall after a while, you get to wondering, what in the world am I doing this for? And then you finally figure it out, and then you cry out to the Lord to help you get over that bump in the road there, and He will. He'll get you through. But some of us are more hard-headed than others. We like that old self-will, that old flesh more than we like Jesus. And that's what it all amounts to. We got to give up self and run after Jesus. And if you do, think of the rewards. He said the rewards are, ooh, it's tremendous. Yeah, Missy.
You know, and I've said this before, you know, the self, I'm going to say it a little different than what I've said it before, but now I'm going to say it the way I used to say it. The self just brings you misery. You know, you want what you want, but it brings you nothing but misery. And which goes to, you know, the Lord reminds me, you know, there's nothing more miserable than thinking about yourself, you know? And it's, you know, like some, you know, I'll get in a kind of a down in the dumps, I guess you could say. And the Lord gets my attention and like, Missy, why are you in the dumps? Because you're thinking about yourself. You know, yeah. Seriously. I mean, and so, gosh, if you can get your mind on other people and praying for other people, get your mind on other things other than what you're going through and what you want and you're not getting, and oh Lord, it's just it's a vicious cycle. You know, that's insanity. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting to get a different outcome.
That's right. Remember what Martin Luther said? I said this the other night. He said, God created the world out of nothing. And as long as we are nothing, He can make something out of us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, we're about out of time here. Anybody got any prayer requests before we'll stop right there. That's we'll just mark it in the book. Lord, we just thank you for another good night. We thank you for answering our prayers, because we know that we have an open heaven. And we know that when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to have it. And that's what your word said. And we thank you, Lord, that that's what's happening right now. Everything that we prayed tonight is happening. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us until we meet again Thursday night. And Father, I ask that you place it in every one of our hearts that when we come here Thursday night, that the praise would be intended for you, not for our entertainment, but for you, Lord. And that you place it in our hearts that when we do hear these songs, that we just praise you with it, Lord, that we direct these things completely to you, Father. And know when we do, you're pleased with it, that our heart is right, knowing that you're pleased with the things that we send to you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. And let our prayers and our praise be a sweet smell to you, Lord. Because we know you're the God of the universe. Matter of fact, you made the universe. You made it for us. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for the fine, obedient sheep that you've made out of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're not going to be goats. We're going to be sheep. And we're going to be obedient sheep in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. God bless you. Let's see here if I can do this. All right.
Night, y'all. Yeah.